Ding Dongs. I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is our podcast, Explain It to Jamie.
Clarification episode number three. That's right. Today we're going to be clarifying some details from our episode on the alt-right and our episode on Obamacare.
That's right. For those of you that are just joining us now for the first time, we release a new episode every Monday, and we release bonus material every Thursday. So this episode, we're doing a clarification video on some of the episodes that we've released in the last 2 weeks.
That's right.
As Richard said, alt-right and Obamacare, which we released earlier this week.
And we have a couple great clarifications to get into on the Obamacare episode. So, I don't see any reason to mess around here.
No. Let's leap immediately into the material. Here we are, clarification episode three.
Nice. Okay, so a couple things to clarify from. We don't have any like significant facts that we got wrong or anything from the alt-right episode.
Except that we found out the alt-right doesn't exist.
That's right. That we want to clarify, we learned that it's not real at all, and we've just been elaborately pranked by the mainstream media.
No, that's not true. We just pranked you, listeners.
Tricked you.
Got you. Alt-right is real.
It's inception up in this motherfucker.
Yeah, everything is fucked.
Get ready, everybody.
Yeah,
Are we in a dream? Quick, you better pour water on your face and listen to Edith Piaf and pee yourself. I did not pay close attention while Inception was happening, while I was watching it. Was that what happens in Inception?
I don't know. I was too busy trying to make a wordplay between Piaf and pee your pants. But I didn't. Instead, I just talked about I wished I was able to do.
I just want to make a joke about like a rice pilaf, but like a Piaf. It's like a urine-based rice dish. Neither of these are jokes.
No.
Tricked you. This isn't a show where we do bad jokes. We're going to do the good jokes now. Inception.
Yeah. Tricked you. Inception.
Inception.
Take that, Christopher Nolan.
Inception. Okay. So the alt-right. Yeah, I mean, we happened to record that episode literally the day before Milo Yiannopoulos' life exploded.
Yeah.
We only talked briefly about Milo Yiannopoulos on the show, but he's one of the main mouthpieces for the alt-right. And then it was revealed that he had, spoken about the benefits of essentially pedophilia in an interview, and that caused a lot of his mainstream supporters to get spooked and like pull his support and he lost a lot of the prominence that he had, and I don't think anyone was particularly sad for him.
No,
frankly,
I think, and actually there was some obviously what he said was horrifying. A lot of people say is horrifying, but I actually when I watched the interview, I was sort of glad for a moment, because I sort of thought to myself, we found the line. We found, there it is.
Yeah.
There is the line in the sand that those kinds of people aren't willing to stand on the other side of.
Which is, both a comforting and horrible thought, too. It's comforting that they, one could look at it as the sanity sort of prevailing, that people were like, wait, we don't want to hitch our horse to this super, offensive wagon. But at the same time, all the other stuff wasn't a problem, but this one specific thing was, other stuff seemed equally more horrible to me. Like the stuff where he actually encouraged people to harass other people and, hurt them and traumatize them. It seems way worse than this weird hypothetical thing he was talking about, but I'll take it.
And I suppose what I mean when I say glad is a bit of relief of finally knowing where the conversation stops, where it's where we can't go any further.
Well, I think that the alt-right is not equipped super well to function in the real world as a real political organization, and I think this is part of the evidence of that. They have to seriously reinvent themselves, but it's possible. I mean, if there are these hard lines, that these alt-right commentators just have too much evidence built up against them already to ever break into the mainstream. Maybe they'll need new people who, because they didn't think they were ever going to break into the mainstream, so they all have years of horrible shit documented, well-documented horrible shit online.
Well, what's funny is that in one of our earlier episodes, I was asking Richard, and we were talking about electoral reform, and I was asking why, we were talking about mustache liberals, people who pretend to be other political parties and sabotage it from the inside.
That's right, you pretend you're running for the liberals, but really you're secretly conservative.
And in a way, the alt-right is made up entirely of mustache political party members
who
don't belong anywhere else and are just throwing their ideas into the void and seeing what comes back out at them.
That's right. Yeah. Kind of like Donald Trump. Like, that's why they have the problems they have, is Donald Trump seems kind of like that too. You know, he doesn't stand for anything. He doesn't have beliefs. He just has like grumpy old man rage that he points at extremely specific things day to day. And then he has this ghoulish like machinery behind him who are quietly killing us all.
Yeah. And that's why Donald Trump doesn't have a mustache, because his advisors said, Donald, that's a little bit on the nose.
I would be, oh.
Oh, yeah, look at that. If you, a very few people in the world, actually no one other than me, is going to experience the sheer joy that washed over me as I saw Richard's face sink.
I want death.
Sink down and age before my eyes.
Somebody text somebody who's at Mar-a-Lago right now having a like lukewarm prime rib buffet with the dude carrying the nuclear football to like press the launch button. Like, please somebody destroy me in nuclear hellfire right now. I don't want to live anymore.
On the nose. Anyway.
Okay, so Jamie's going to prison for that joke, and we're moving on.
Well, it's a new world.
Anyway, so that's the big development in the alt-right thing since we covered it 2 weeks ago. I mean, 2 weeks ago, it seems like ancient history with the news cycle that we have now and the density of information that's happening. So
it's true. We could do an alt-right episode.
Every week. Yeah, and it would have different stuff.
In fact... we've decided to...
We're going to keep bringing back Alt-Right Safari as a semi-regular segment, probably in alternating weeks with these clarifications. So next week, keep an eye out for that. Onwards and upwards.
So on to the Obamacare episode, which we released earlier this week.
So we got some great feedback on the Obamacare episode, and big shout-outs to Anthony McMahon and Thomas McKechnie, who are our, like, you know, unofficial fact-checkers, as I said. A couple of quick ones. I think that I sort of blurred the difference in America between Medicare and Medicaid. So these are the more like, these are the single payer systems that do exist in America, and they're for certain groups of people. And I sort of said they were, you remember I said Medicaid was for old people, and then I like people who are within 138% of the poverty line. Right, so like poorer people.
I forget everything the second after this podcast.
We'll go listen back to the podcast, and then when you remember what was explained to you.
The reason I don't know very much about politics isn't because people don't tell me stuff. It's because I have an awful memory for facts and figures.
Well, shove this in your brain box.
I'll get it in there.
So Medicare and Medicaid are two different things. Medicare is for elderly people, and Medicaid is for poorer people, low-income people. And this is it was politically smart of them to divide those into two things, because old people vote and poor people don't. So you can, the mechanisms exist for the Republicans to get rid of entitlements for poor people, but not offend their older, largely white base, right? Because in theory, you could preserve the Medicare benefits and just cut the Medicaid benefits separately from that. Now, do you want to piss off a whole bunch of poor people who are then vulnerable to being, you know, energized and grabbed by your other side? That remains to be seen. And the Obamacare, I mean, we're recording this on a Monday. I think the Obamacare... the replacement is supposed to become public on Wednesday. So maybe right before this podcast comes out, that's supposed to be released. So keep an eye on how exactly they try to dismantle what they see as the unfair entitlements of the Obamacare system without taking political heat over it. We'll see what that compromise looks like.
So all you people in Future Town listening to this today...
have that information.
Yeah, you might have the information.
Or maybe
it'll
end up going up in flames again, which it has a few times already. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. Anyway, that's one clarification. Medicare, Medicaid, two different things. Medicare is for old people. Medicaid is for low income people, and they can be affected separately.
And the second thing we wanted to talk about was a beautiful point brought up by our
good buddy Thomas McKechnie,
fact checker extraordinaire, Mr. Thomas McKechnie.
Yeah, Thomas mentioned very, very articulately that his mother, who is a registered nurse in Canada, says that one of the main issues with two-tiered medical systems, too, is that private clinics have the right and ability to take certain cases and not take other cases, which in many cases incentivizes them to take easy, simpler cases and then not take more complicated cases. So this has both the effect of making the private clinics look more efficient and look like they're better at handling care than the public system. And it also gives the public system all of the costlier, more difficult, more complex cases. So it increases the burden on the public system and makes the private system look artificially better at doing its job than it might actually be.
Which I was going to, I'll bring up. A friend of mine who's a teacher was thinking about going to be a teacher in the States.
Right.
And the reason he didn't want to was because of the system they have, which is actually not necessarily two-tier education system, but the way it works with the unions, as he described to me, is that more senior teachers get to pick their classes. So more senior teachers you'll pick, okay, well, I'm going to pick all these kids in the 80th percentile.
Yeah.
And now we'll leave all the kids below 80th percentile for the younger teachers to fix.
Yeah.
And they can't because of behavioral issues or because right. of, you know, it's better to mix and match or whatever the psychology is.
That's why Professor Xavier was such a good teacher.
That's exactly right.
He picked all the mutants who weren't ragey, and then he made the other teachers teach all the angsty mutants.
Exactly.
I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And so, and
use Cerebro to find all the mutants who are going to be good students. And then he put them in his classes and he made Wolverine teach all the shitty, angry mutants with broken homes and stuff.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what happened.
And that's why the mutants and X-Men need Obamacare. You heard it here first, folks. This is a hot scoop.
They live in the States. Those mutants live in the States. They do need Obamacare.
Like their healthcare insurance plan is Rogue touches Wolverine while she also touches a sick mutant, and they just hope it works out well. that's what it says. You get a piece of paper. That's what it says.
Yeah, yeah. If anything is wrong,
let's fucking roll the dice on this weird threesome. thing.
That'd be annoying to be Wolverine in that situation.
Oh God, yeah.
Just constantly just getting drained.
Just constantly. And it's agonizing too,
because it's not like they don't have a dangerous job.
No,
you know? They are very consistently throwing themselves right in the way of danger.
Yeah, for people who in theory teach at a private school, it seems like they're in the weeds a lot more often than
that. In fact, they should talk to their union about that.
Yeah, what's the labor organization like? Yeah. Let's do and explain it to Jamie about the politics and economics of the X-Men universe.
Oh man, actually, I could talk for a long time about that.
Okay, no, sweet. We'll explain it to Jamie.
Yeah, right. Tell you all about Marvel. Yeah. What's this podcast about?
This is about anyway. So those kinds of examples are good examples of why capitalism should not. That we should shield healthcare from the mechanisms of capitalism. Yes, there are people who argue for the mechanisms of capitalism being brought to bear on our healthcare so that we can make it more, in theory, it'll become more efficient and people will get better care. I think that there's if you have blind faith in capitalism to provide for the public good, you need to read a book. I don't understand how you could possibly have that much faith in capitalism with where we're at now in our society.
Right.
It's so much, there's so much potential for abuse and exploiting vulnerable people that I just don't see how you could not want to regulate the fuck out of it.
Okay, here's a question potentially in the other direction.
Hit it.
Is because we were talking about the idea of sort of earning those hours that you can sell.
Right.
Would it be the same? I understand that point. If you're saying a doctor straight out of med school can decide which tier in the system they'd like to work on, it gets a bit more blurry for me as soon as I go, oh, but you know, if you're earning those hours, if it's only 40 or 50-year-old, maybe not 40 because it takes fucking 15 years to go through med school or whatever.
Mm.
But if you're saying 50-plus doctors or 55-plus doctors can sell 10 hours a month, then I wonder how those numbers balance out. Because, yes, I guess you're selling hours for more efficient and safe clients, But you're not doing it en masse. Mind you, maybe it's better just to keep it out generally.
I mean, I guess the danger, that seems like a system less prone to abuse, but then at the same time, the danger is that they gather the data that says the private system is working better, and then they use it to advocate for more privatization.
Right.
Right. Like, that's the danger there. It's like this, I guess that's a slippery slope fallacy, but at the same time, you know, it's the mechanisms of capitalism are really powerful, and the things that we have that are socialized public goods need to be defended against the mechanisms of capitalism, because once it takes hold, they, huge corporations exert a lot of pressure and influence over our government, and yeah, they get their right. way a lot, right? It's you're a dangerous right. game to start playing.
Okay.
That would be my response to that.
Fair. If you have a response, listener, yes, you, listener, I'm talking to
yell
you.
It out loud right now, wherever you are. Yeah. Scream it. We're listening. Yeah, we're listening. Promise you.
My ears are open.
We're plugged into Cerebro right now, just like, like we're scanning for anybody who's screaming at the top of their lungs a response to this episode.
I can hear someone right now.
What's
Queen what's Street? Saying?
Quick,
Queen Street get, University.
Get in the X Range Rover. Hello, good sir. Hello. What was your comment on our podcast? Well, we'll make sure to include that in this clarification episode. Thank you for listening, loyal
Don't
listener.
Don't cut me out.
What does he mean by that? Do you think, Jamie?
I don't know.
Maybe we'll never know.
I don't know. I wasn't him.
Yeah. Were any of us
wasn't him.
Really him? Okay.
Well, this has been a fun clarification episode.
Agreed.
I've been a little bit off the rails. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you hear anything in any of our episodes that you have an opinion on, that you feel like we didn't represent correctly, or we get facts wrong, or you have a response to any of these, please Facebook us, tweet at us, email us, explainittojamie@gmail.com, Twitter @explainjamie, explainitjamie on Facebook.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you.
We don't want this to be just two guys sitting in a bachelor apartment screaming into the void of the internet.
Guys in their state-of-the-art mutant Range Rover scouring the city for their loyal fans.
Yeah, we don't want it to be just that. We would love for you guys to engage, communicate, because...
Look, you know, we can lose perspective. Sometimes it can be all champagne and caviar on this podcast, but we want to keep in touch with you, the average listener.
That's right.
Like, just because Jamie and I are currently submerged in a pool full of youth elixir doesn't mean that we don't keep it real. You know, we are still... Jamie from the block.
That's right. Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was eating caviar.
How's it tasting? Mm. Oh, this is great.
Yeah, salty and
this
like
caviar
fish,
is
like,
so fishy and
yeah, it tastes like caviar
and rich tasting. I've never had caviar.
It's gross.
It's okay, really gross. Well, like I said, please respond to the podcast if you have anything you want to let us know. I've been Richard.
I'm Jamie. This is Explain It to Jamie.